Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting meritassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And welcome to the month of July, everybody. This is Bob Arthurs, pastor of Merit Assembly of God. You are listening to the Refresh Radio program. This is brought to you by the wonderful saints of Merit Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street, Merritt Island, Florida, 32953. If you've got prayer requests or praise reports, we would love to hear those from you. Maybe you've got a word of encouragement that you'd like to share with us, or God's answered prayer. We do get a lot of, well, not a lot, but we do get emails and Facebook messages from people all over the country that listen to this program, and we are thankful for that. You say, how do they listen all over the country? It's a Brevard County-only program. Well, the wonderful thing about the internet is it goes every place, and you can listen on WMIEFM.com, either live or on demand through the tab at the bottom of the home screen there. You can also listen 8:30 of a morning, 5 o'clock of an evening, right here on 91.5 FM. 10:30 of a morning gets you the availability to hear on WWBC 1510 AM. And we are very, very thankful that you have tuned in today, just like we are available Monday through Friday. And we are into the second half of 2021 already. Last year was a year that just seemed to go on forever. This year seems to be flying by. I don't know how that happens, but it truly is going on. I would like to take this opportunity to invite you out to Merit Assembly of God. If you are looking for a church home where the Word of God is preached, you can come into a family-like atmosphere. Really, there aren't that many of us related to one another. I mean, I'm related to my wife by marriage. All of our kids are grown and moved off and serving in other churches throughout the state of Florida. We're very thankful for that. But we have a network of people that have worshiped at Merit Assembly of God, some for not very long, some for a long time. But we genuinely love each other like family, and so we would love for you to come and be a part of that. So years ago, somebody said, you know, if you want to grow your church, you got to destroy that that family type environment. And I said, I'm not going to do it. Just that does not sound like anything that I read in the Bible. And so we continue to love each other like brothers and sisters in Christ, and would love to have you come and be a blessing to our community along with us. So today we are going to return to Isaiah chapter 30, the 30th chapter of Isaiah. And yesterday we had gone through many of the characteristics of what were supposed to be God's chosen people, but they weren't acting like God's chosen people. Our verse that we are looking at that deals with us seeking justice is verse number 18. It says, therefore the Lord will wait that he may be gracious to you, and therefore he will be exalted that he may have mercy on you. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are those who wait for him. So we had gone through the majority of the characteristics of bad behavior that was going on with the children of Israel, even though they were supposed to be his covenant people. They were rebellious. They were not taking his counsel. They were devising plans, but they were not by the Spirit of God. They were adding sin to sin. They were not asking advice from God. They were strengthening themselves in the strength of Pharaoh or strength of other men. They were liars. They were children who refused to hear the law of the Lord. Would instruct the seers, do not see, and instructed the prophets, do not prophesy to us right things. That's where we got yesterday. That's a brief recap. That takes us through the first half of verse number 10. The last half of verse number 10 says this, speak to us smooth things, prophesied deceits. Get out of the way. Turn aside from the path. Cause the one, the Holy One of Israel, to cease from before us. So not only was there were these people emboldened against God's gift to their community in summoning them back into relationship, and they said, don't prophesy to us the things that are right. Instead, here's what we want you to do. See, there is a misunderstanding. There is an injustice here in that human beings created in the image of God were attempting in their pride and arrogance to displace God and take his role upon themselves. That's a very Luciferian thing to do. That sounds like something that Lucifer would say, I will ascend the hill of the Lord. I will be like the Most High. My job is not to do God's job. My job is to do the job that God has asked me to do. And so I want you to see humanism is a spiritual injustice, because it displaces a perfect, holy God, a God of love, and places an inferior created being on the throne. No matter who that being is, it is an injustice. So they said, we don't want you prophesying to us the right things. We want you to speak to us smooth things. Things that are not unpleasant. Things that make us feel good about ourselves. Did you know that every person that is ever born deserves the right to hear that they are sinners and that Jesus died and shed his blood so that they could ask him to forgive them of their sins, and he would do that? That is a universal right. Everyone has the universal right to repent. We do people a great, serious, eternal injustice whenever we try and endorse or approve of sinful behavior and deprive them of the good news of Jesus Christ, that they can be forgiven of their sins. So I refuse to discriminate. I absolutely refuse to do it. If you come in to Merit Assembly of God, you are going to hear the good news of Jesus Christ, that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Behold, he stands at the door and knocks, and if any man will hear his voice and open the door, he, Jesus, will come in and sup with you and you with him. That is the good news of Jesus Christ. He loves you, and he wants, it may not be an easy thing to hear. People do not like to be told they are wrong. They do not like to be told that they are in sin, that they are in error. But which is worse, not telling a person that they're wrong or letting them continue to live as if they're wrong and never telling them? Which is the greater injustice? I contend that the Word of God confronts us in our sin. It never empowers us to continue to live in our sin. So they said, we want you to speak smooth things. We want you to prophesy deceit. Who in their right mind ever wants someone to just flat out lie to them? guys, let me talk to you just a moment. And because a lot of guys have made statements like this to me through the years, and that is, well, I don't want to go to the doctor because he might find something that's wrong with me, and I don't want to know if there's anything wrong with me. It's like, it may not be anything big right now, but if you do not address it, it could become a 5-alarm fire. So I want people to tell me the truth. I cannot, in my imagination, I cannot encounter or envision a time in my business leadership or in my family dynamics growing up or when I've been the husband and the father. I cannot imagine a time when I've been in a situation at the church where I would say, I'm looking for a prophet who will not speak the truth. I can't comprehend that. But yet, in Isaiah's society, that was what was going on. And in our society, we have people who pay money every month to subscribe to channels where people will lie to them over and over and over again. I have this person that every once in a while I interact with, and I just say, so you're still listening to those people who are known liars, huh? And they just basically say, well, you know, I don't have anything to say. I don't want, and I certainly don't want anybody prophesying, speaking in the name of the Lord, something that is not true. That's not godly. That's ungodly. That's not Christ-like. That's anti-Christ-like. And whenever I see anything that is anti-Christ or opposite of Christ behavior, opposite of Christ character, I'm going to run from that if it's okay with you. So, they didn't stop there, okay? This is what they said. They refused to hear the law of the Lord. They refused to hear the word of the Lord. They told the people who see things, don't see, don't look. They said to the prophets, do not prophesy to us right things. Prophesy to us smooth things, easy things that are easy on the ears, and prophesy lies to us. And then they say, get out of the way. Get out of the way. At some point in time, if things continue on the path that they are currently on, society will feel as if they have reached a place where they are emboldened enough to tell the church to get out of the way. The church and in the ministry of the Holy Spirit are restraining forces in an ungodly day and time. Unfortunately, there are many places where there is very little distinction. I mean, if you go on and look at what we just talked about, whenever that mindset enters into a church, it has ceased to become a mouthpiece for God. Even if it says something from the scriptures from time to time, it's not nearly going to be as effective as it once could. And at that point in time, whenever you are in a position to be controlled, they will say, get out of the way. Well, if you look down to verse number 21, you will hear this. Your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. This is the way, walk in it. And they're saying, get out of the way. I've told this story a number of times. It's absolutely a true story. There's a road that I have to take to whenever I go back to visit my family, and you come out, there's this highway, and the speed limits there are a little higher than they are in some other places in the country. I think on that particular stretch of road, maybe not at that point, but a little bit after that, it gets to like 75, maybe 80 miles an hour. I don't remember exactly how high it gets there, but it's pretty fast. One Sunday morning, I believe it was, there was a barge going down the river, and there was a bridge that allowed the interstate traffic to cross over that particular river, and there was a barge that accidentally hit one of the supporting pilings of the bridge, and the bridge collapsed. A section of the bridge collapsed. And there were cars going full speed, 70, 75 miles an hour, and they were just diving over the last of the pavement. They just kept going. You would think that there was maybe an arc there, and so when they disappeared out of sight, you didn't really think too much about it. Car after car just going over until someone realized what had happened, and they got their car to a screeching halt. And can you imagine, there's this crazy person running around an interstate where all of this traffic is going, and he's saying, stop, stop. And people are, you know, I'm sure they're saying, what is that guy doing? Get out of the way. You're going to get killed. What they didn't know was that person was literally saving their lives. Whenever the church is marginalized by society and its voice has been compromised to where it sounds like all of the other voices in the world, be very, very wary. These people tell the church, get out of the way, turn aside from the path, and listen to this, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. I've used that illustration before. The scripture says that God opposes the proud. It also says that he opposes the shrewd. And I've really come to understand that what that means is when people are on a path that leads to destruction, that God opposes them because he doesn't want any to perish. He wants all to come to everlasting life. And he's saying, I'm doing everything that I can do to stop you from going to hell. If you want to go to hell, it will be over my dead, resurrected, and glorified body. But I'm here opposing you because this is not the path that I have chosen for you. And these people say, get God off the scene. Look in history and see if you've ever can find a godless society that ends up being a better society without him. He is our source of peace. He is the source of morality. If you do away with God, you have unleashed a society of no morals whatsoever. Crimes against humanity, injustice will not become less prevalent. It will become more prevalent because God is the source of justice. So verse number 12 says, thus says the Holy One of Israel, because you despise the word. These people cannot stand the word of God. Somebody had come out with a book that said books that you don't need to read, and one of them is the Bible. And that's kind of funny because nobody reads their magazine. I heard that another preacher say that they had heard that they had said you no longer need to read the Bible. I have read articles where God, you know, we talked about they rejected God's counsel, where things that are in the Word of God, and these people said, no, you don't have to do it that way anymore. There's a better way. Not only do they despise the Word of God, but they trust in oppression and perversity. Those two elements right there, neither one of them lend themselves to a society where justice is triumphed. Oppression leads to more injustice. Perversity leads to more corruption and more injustice. Despising the word of God. Here's my thing. If you will despise the word of God, no matter who you are, if you despise the word of God, who am I? Why would I ever think that you would ever honor anyone else's word that is inferior to the word that you despise? Why, you know, if a person will not honor the word of God, if they despise the word of God, why would they hold your word in high esteem? If they're not willing to honor God, what makes, if they're willing to oppress God and oppress God's people, what makes you think that they're not going to oppress you? Now, there's an old country song that said something like this: "Have you left the one that you left me for?" You know, if they're not going to honor their marital vows with you, what makes you think, or if they didn't honor their marital vows with the person before, what makes you think they're going to honor the new one? It's a very troubling society that is described in Isaiah chapter 30. And these people were looking to Egypt to bail them out from the spiritual correction, I wanted to say spiritual spanking, that was coming their way. They were looking to Egypt for relief from that. And let me read a verse of a few verses here and see if I can describe how Egypt thought of them. Verse number 3, "Therefore the strength of Pharaoh shall be your shame, and trust in the shadow of Egypt shall be your humiliation. For his princes were at Zoan, and his ambassadors came to Hanes. They were all ashamed of a people who could not benefit or be help or benefit, but a shame and also a reproach." "The burden against the beast of the south through a land of trouble and anguish from which came the lioness and the lion, the viper and the fiery flying serpent. They will carry their riches on the back of young donkeys and their treasure on the humps of camels to a people who shall not profit, for the Egyptians shall help in vain and to no purpose. Therefore, I have called her Rahab Hemshabeth." Okay, first of all, the Egyptians are going to have a mindset, because they're going to be ashamed of a people who could not benefit them. See, apart from God, people do not tend to operate just out of the goodness and the kindness of their heart. They are looking for a mutually beneficial, at best, relationship. If not that, how is this relationship going to benefit me, whether it helps you or not? And so that's why you can see a lot of betrayals and things like that, because whenever it's not a God-built relationship, they want to know, okay, how's this going to help me? How have you helped me? And then it becomes, how have you helped me lately? Yes, you might have done that before, but what have you done for me lately? You see, when everything is filtered through self, people look at you as a means to an end, not as a person created in the image of God to be ministered to and to be blessed. Okay, once again, the mission statement of Merit Assembly of God is to be a blessing. You know why? Because people need to know that God is still on the throne, because society is doing everything they can to deprive them from hearing about a good God, a loving God, a compassionate God, a God that is holy and just and righteous. He's not asking you to fend for yourself. He wants to be that source of strength. He wants to impart glorious things into your life, not for how you can benefit him. He is God all by himself. He is looking to be reconciled to you. It says, the second thing I want to point out to you is, to a people who shall not profit, for the Egyptians shall help in vain and to no purpose. Therefore, I have called her Rahab Hemshabeth. Rahab sits idle. You know what? Egypt wasn't looking to help somebody that was not going to be of benefit to them and was not going to be productive. I know that society has kind of amended the American dream. It's not just owning a house and owning a car and having a productive job and all of that sort of stuff. Now it is that you get to sit around and do nothing. Let me have a moment to speak to the seasoned saints here in Brevard County. And I want to encourage you, do not retire from serving the body of Christ. I want to encourage you, as long as you have breath, you have purpose. There's something that you could be doing in the church, through the church, or through a local civic organization to be a blessing to your community. Your purpose is not just to sit around and eat three square meals a day and go, you know, as much as I love to go to play golf, it's not to just go play golf every day or sit around the pool or whatever it is that you might think you have all this free time to do. You have been liberated so that you can serve the kingdom of God to a greater degree than you've ever before. When a church becomes multi-generational, when there's an older generation that says, you know what, as long as I can, I'm going to be pouring into that generation of children and teenagers and young adults so that I can equip them for success, then I tell you what, then the kingdom of God is getting ready to do some great things through that sort of makeup. And we have some wonderful saints. I've got a guy in my church, and when he started coming, I had a daughter that was going through a little bit of a difficult season, and he said, my goal is to get to where she understands how much we appreciate her and how much God loves her. I want you to know, he was a success. At her graduation party, she went up to him and said, would you pray at the beginning of this, because you were such an important part in my development and helping me to succeed. I want to encourage you, don't be spiritually idle. Be spiritually indispensable. Be essential. That was a word from last year. Be spiritually essential. Because you are. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, meritassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to meritassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. Here come